Oh, man. Well, we had a really, God says to meet in due season. We certainly have had it today. Appreciate the special music by Chad and Tanya, and the messages this morning were just spot on with not only the timing of the day and what it means, but the fact that we address the, very specifically, the young people in the Church of God, and how important it is as parents that we share these experiences with our children. So I'm going to carry on. It seems like we've got a theme going. I did not collaborate with Brian or Mr. DeCampos, but our messages are very, very along the same line and all. So what I'd like to do is have you turn in preparation to chapter Exodus 13. Seems like we've been there before. I'm going to take a little different approach, but we're on the same page in terms of what we're addressing and what we're looking at. Appreciate you all staying on this afternoon, because I know it's a long day, and having lunch, it's easy to say, well, I think I'll go home and take a nap. So, brethren, here we are on the last great day of unleavened bread. And like all other holy days, God has a significant meaning to each and every one of those days. They're not throwaways. These are days which God has set aside and given a very specific purpose for a lesson for us in our salvation into the kingdom of God. Everything that God inspired in the Old Testament relates to the children of Israel, inspired in the Old Testament, but God called and chosen part of us to be in our family. And so those lessons that we see there are applicable to us today. It's very much alive in our spiritual growth, as we heard this morning, well portrayed. Mr. Reno also came along with the sin and the impact of it and how we have to struggle to overcome that. But we must have the Old and the New Testament. And I know that's not always common in this world society of those that claim to be Christians. Some don't believe in the New Testament. Some don't believe in the Old Testament. And so what we know that the complete story, the inspired Word of God, is the whole Bible. And that gives us the advantage of seeing the examples in the Old Testament and how they relate to us in the New Testament as Christians called out now to be part of the kingdom of God. So we're going back and we're going to pick up the story back in Exodus, and we read of how God, and we've heard this morning, I'm just going to summarize it, prepared Moses to go to the children of Israel who were in captivity, slaves to Israel. It's a type of sin. They were slave of physically in Egypt, but we are looking at slavery to sin today. That's all that's around. Every day we sin, bar none. And so we are coming out of sin. God's given us the path to come out of sin. We don't have to live in it like the Israelites were stuck in Egypt for all these years, 400 plus years. They were stuck in Egypt. It took God to give a miracle to get them out of there. Now, the same applies to us. The same miracle takes place, only this time it's spiritual. We're getting released from sin spiritually, and we're coming out of it. So we continue on the story, and God told Moses to go in there and tell the people what his plan was. So Moses goes back with his brother Aaron. As you know, he was the spokesperson. And they not only convinced the children of Israel that God is leading them out finally from this slavery they were under, but now they had a message to go to the Pharaoh and say, let my people go. And we'll pick up the story there. Let's go to Exodus 12 and verse 31 and pick up the story there, and that's where I'm going to start. So in Exodus 12 and verse 31, we see that he called for Moses and Aaron. This is the Pharaoh. This is after all the plagues had taken place, and God has pointed out all the things. And finally, when Pharaoh was stubborn enough to say, no, I'm not going to let your people go, what does he do? He then kills all the firstborn of Egypt and all the animals. And this was the last straw for Moses at that time when he came to the understanding and gave that message to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh refused it. God then exercised the last plague that came along. And it says in verse 31, then he called, and by the way, that's not a cell phone. He didn't call, he sent a message. A lot of people think that actually, Moses and Aaron left and went to Pharaoh. But no, they had to stay in their home. So Pharaoh sent a message, and he said, okay, rise up, go out from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as you have said. Also, take your flocks and your herds, and as you have said, and he be gone and bless me also. So Pharaoh finally let him go, and they see the pilgrim. This is where we pick up the story of them coming out of Egypt. In verse 33, and the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of Egypt, the Egyptians. So they granted them, and they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians, and God blessed them by giving them plunder. They came from the Egyptians. They were pleased at that point in time after seeing the firstborn die in front of them. And the Pharaoh even lost his son, the heir to the throne. They were plenty happy to get the Israelites out of their reach at that point. In verse 37, we'll drop down there to verse 37. Then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot, besides children. A mixture multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened bread, cakes of dough, which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait. Nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. So they were really pretty lacking supplies to exist and whatever, and God said he was going to take care of them, and they had to trust him. Just like when we make the decision, and we'll get that in a little bit, but we make a decision to come out of sin, as we were heard already, it's not an easy decision, because people are used to their way of life. They're used to doing whatever they want to do. They don't want to be told. A lot of people are very stubborn. And we had a discussion in business here just recently that you would think if you got a big supply of money in to the corporation, everybody would be happy. No, there's always somebody that wants something more than that. They want control. They want control so bad that they're willing to kill the whole deal over the fact that they can't have the control of doing what they want to do. It's the same thing that Satan wanted. He wanted to rule. He wanted to take over. He had greedy and ambitious. He's had this sin in his heart. Inequity was there, planted, that he wanted to take over the position of God. He wasn't happy with what he was given. In verse 30, we'll move on down then. We say in verse 40, now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, on that very same day, and that's a whole sermon itself, when you understand the sacrifice, where God actually was the one who promised Abraham what he was going to do. And he was willing to seal it with a special oath. And that's a beautiful story in itself, if you understand what God was doing there. On the very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from Egypt, the land of Egypt. It was a night of solemn observance to the Lord by bringing them out of the land of Egypt. That is the night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. It's our night to be observed, which we celebrated here just a week ago. So we have a whole series of events that are taking place as God's taken physically as an example. The slavery of Egypt, out of Egypt, his people, Israel, out of sin, a type of sin, Pharaoh, a type of Satan. And we see that being applied here for us as an example of looking forward to the time that we live in today. So we remember that the death angel came through the night portion of the 14th Passover night, and they were to stay in their homes until morning. A lot of people make the mistake. They think, well, that's at midnight. That's when you change over, but not according to God. He wanted him to come out, stay in their home. They had certain things they had to do during that late night period of time, and then they were able to go out in the morning period. Very important here. So it was during the day of the 14th Passover daytime that they actually plundered the Egyptians, and they did not leave Egypt until the night portion beginning the 15th of the night to be, that was the first day of unleavened bread, on the 15th. And there are some people who have got that confused. They already changed it up they're keeping the 15th as Passover and running the whole thing together, which is not correct. Moving on to back to Exodus 12, one scripture there we'll pick up in Exodus 12 and verse 50. I'm sorry, still in 13. Thus the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, and they did, and at the same it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Moving on to Exodus 13:3. Then Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by my strength of hand, the Lord brought you out of this place. So the future is God's people being freed from bondage of sin and from the penalty of sin, which is death, and the deliverance from Satan the devil. So we, Exodus 13, verse 8, picking that up there, we go to the morning messages today when we talk about the children. This is brought out very well. He said, and you shall tell your son, it says, but your children of this day, saying that this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt, or I came out of sin. So you have a lot of experiences you can tell, because even if you grew up in a church like Brian did or Chad did, or the Benedicts had an extended family that all grew up in the church and have generations. So they didn't really have to come out, say, like myself, who didn't know anything about the Bible until I was called and couldn't even spell it to start with. So you have a different set of circumstances, but you still have to make a decision. Do you want to follow God's way or not? And that's a key thing, because even though you've had this instruction for years in the church and in with your family, and I see families here that are working hard to teach their children God's word, but there's more than that to just God's word. It's a matter of action, too. We heard that this morning. A matter that you have to apply yourself, not only scripturally, understand the Bible, what God is telling you, but then you have to put it in action. You have to make a decision on your own right. And when you're converted, when you're baptized, you have to make that decision yourself. As something that's very personal between you and God, your family can be there to encourage you along the way. They can be there to teach you, to show you the way, to set the examples, which we as parents should do. Because the children will emulate their parents in most cases. You'll have one pick up a trait of one parent and one pick up another trait of another parent, and collectively they could assemble that whole process if it's not done properly. So there's a lot of responsibility on parenthood. And I can understand why some people may not want to do that or whatever, but that's a big thing God has given us as parents, to train His children. If you think about it that way, as parents, you're actually training God's future sons and daughters. Just like you were trained by your parents, those that are generational, you're being trained by your parents, now you're training your children. But they're all God's children, and they were given to us as a gift and to expand the family of God long term. So it's a very important thing that was brought out extremely well this morning by both speakers. So this is done because God did what you can say to your children. This is what God did for me. Now, I was wandering in a world I had no idea what God was about. And someday, thanks to my wife who helped me along the way and we heard the broadcast, it started to make sense. And God changed my life completely. And you start to pick up a different way of life. You realize that what is the biggest purpose of life? Most people in this world have no idea what the plan of God is. Never even heard of it. They'll have their chance in the future. And the beautiful thing is we have our chance now. We are very special people. We're not just every single individual that's walking around the world. Now, we don't have to brag about it, but we have been called out by God at this time and given the opportunity to be the first fruits of God. And if you think about that, that's a very special honor that we have got. We can't abuse that. And we have a responsibility that comes along with that choosing that He's given us. And that's extremely important when we think about this all the way through. It shall be as a sign to you, continue on the scripture here, it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as your memorial between your eyes, and that was brought out very well this morning, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth, for with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in the season from year to year. So just like they were brought out of Egypt, we should remember it, but also we have been called out of this world. Every day we ought to thank God for calling us out of this world. I mean, you think about this world and the condition it's in now. It's getting worse every day. Every time you hear the news, what they're doing next, what's planned, what they are actually setting up for us, it's getting to be very tough. I can sympathize. I read extensively what's going on in schools today, the impact of what's being taught our children, the exposure they have to social media, and what they have according to what the government is saying on this transgender and different subjects that our children are being exposed to. It's not the same as when we were kids, that's for sure. We had our tough go in our own right, but it was different. It wasn't a matter of, CNN News out the other day, and one of the key broadcasters of CNN News said, you can't tell a child's biological sex when they're born. I mean, I can't believe that. How do you make a statement like that? But that's the way this society is going. And our children are being grown and raised in that society. Therefore, the pressure on the parents to be able to teach those children and set the example for them has got to be extremely high. So we go on. Let's go to Exodus 13 and verse. Let's go to 17. Exodus 13, verse 17. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had led the people go, that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, which had been a closer way of going. They could have got there a lot sooner into the land of promise, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds. Here they've been freed from slavery. God, knowing human nature and what He created, He realized that if He made it easy for them, they're going to second guess and something happens, we're going back into sin. They would go back into Egypt. So he said that by the way of the land of Philistine, although that was near, for God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war, or in our case, trials come upon us. We see different things we don't like in the church of God or in God's teaching. And we saw that in 95. I've seen it over the years, way back in the 70s when I was working at headquarters. Somebody got a question. Well, I don't think this is the right way. We have another way, a different way. We don't have to do it this way. So they left the church of God for that reason. They left God's teaching. Most of those people that left are no longer associating with God at all. They've left completely. So God knows our hearts. He knows that if we have problems sometimes, it's awful easy to go back to the old way. Easy to take on what we were in before. So He said, perhaps the people change their minds when they see war or problems and return to Egypt. So once we have chosen to leave sin behind, God does not want us to turn back, wants us to continue the journey to salvation and in His kingdom. That's the same thing we got to work with our children on, because it's awfully easy for our kids to get discouraged. Look, you don't have to sit in the classrooms and our social media and people talking about me. I don't need this anymore. And they go off and do their thing. Let's go to verse 18. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. Verse 20. So they took the journey from Succoth and camped, and I won't even say the, at the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by the night in a pillar of fire to give them light. So as to go by day and night, He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. So there was absolutely no question that God was leading them for a purpose. I mean, he had a physical sign before him and after him that they could look to and know that God was still there, still present. But even with that, it's awful easy, even though you see the example, and many of us have seen the miracles, there's hardly anybody in here that I can think of that hasn't had or looked back and see how God has worked in their life, given them an opportunity, maybe a miracle, a healing, or some blessing that came your way that you didn't deserve. Or I mean, I count my blessings every day. I shouldn't be here by what's happened to me several times. I know I shouldn't be here. And I know there's others in here the same way. So when you think of these things, we have to realize that God has a purpose for each and every one of us. And so you're sitting here because God put you here, put you in that seat, had a purpose for you, is teaching you one way or the other to understand his way, his laws, what your purpose is and what your future is. And that is to be in the kingdom of God. Exodus 14, verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before, and he gave us the place here, and by the sea. Oppose, you shall camp before it by the sea, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. They have lost their way. Their wilderness has closed in on them. Then I will, and God says, then, verse 4, he said, then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over his army, and the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord God. So a lot of times we don't understand what God is doing, but God's got a purpose. Just like here, these people, the Israelites, didn't understand, but God had a bigger purpose. Yes, he was bringing them out, his children, a promise he made to Abraham. He's bringing them out of captivity and taking them to the promised land that he promised Abraham. But he had another purpose in mind. He was setting an example all the way through this to the children of Israel that we can look back in time historically and use that as example to encourage ourselves, our children, to move forward to, that God has an overall purpose for us that's so critical and so important. But what happens when they got there, they said, when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were afraid. Amazing. And the people forgot everything that God had already done by them the previous 6 days, bringing them through the wilderness, leading them by the pillar of clouds, by the pillar of fire at night, instead of saying, oh God, you know, they didn't say this, but wouldn't you think they would stop and say, oh God, here come the Egyptians. Let's stand back and watch and see what God does to these Egyptians. Remember what he did back in Israel, back in Egypt? He sent all these plagues. He finally killed all the firstborn of Egypt. You would think they'd remember 6 days past and look back and see the example of God's power. They were physically saw God's inaction, and yet they were afraid. And that's one of the lessons we get out of this. They were afraid. They didn't have the faith, the understanding. They didn't look to God for deliverance at that time. They were afraid, and they forgot. It was human nature at its best. It's easier to turn back. It's easier to forget, whatever. So there was a great principle here to understand when things get tough, and they will get tough, believe me. It's going to get tougher. We know that. We see the scriptures of what's coming up in the future. We have to be prepared. We have to prepare our children for it. And let them not be afraid of what's coming up, but be encouraged the fact that God is going to be with them. He's not going to desert you now. He's going to be with you entirely, all the time. We just have to have the faith and believe. He said at times it's going to get tough. We would be to prepare and strengthen in God's way and his word. And as the Bible says, gird up your loins of your mind and be ready and be prepared. Remember, God has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us. Romans 8, verse 28, I won't need to turn there. But all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. So all the way through God's scriptures, he's given you little tidbits of encouragement all the way along, things that would strengthen your faith to give you more faith and understanding. So we will, when we believe God's word, in spite of all the circumstances we are surrounded with, all the difficulties we're faced with that we don't understand at the time. And now you read on what's going on politically, it's human nature for us to sometimes get upset. What do they think about? What are they doing this for? And you wonder about these things, but you got to be encouraged by reviewing the circumstance that Israel faced. And after 6 days of marching, dusty, hot, dirty, sweaty, eating unleavened bread, they come to a place alongside the Red Sea, and all of a sudden, here comes Pharaoh with his armies, and they moan and said, "We should have never left. They're going to kill us." You know, they weren't angry with Moses. They were angry with God. Because God was the one that said, "I'm freeing you. I'm taking you out. You cried to me. I heard your call." How many of us have looked at that and realized where we were when we were called? Were we asking or calling out? And do we still call out for God? When we're sick and afflicted or having a trial, don't we call out to God for deliverance? Well, you would think that's exactly what we should be doing. That's for sure. That we need to make sure that. But we can't go back and say, "Oh, God's failed me this time. I'm going back. I'm going back in my old ways, my sinful life. The kingdom's not coming." I mean, there's every excuse you can say. I bet over the years, 50-some years in God's church, I've heard just about every story you can think of. Met a lot of people that think they're Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or you name it. And so you got all these different people that have different ideas and different thoughts. But the one focus you have to do is keep your mind on God's kingdom and God's way, that He won't ever let you down. It may not be right now, but it will be eventually. He said, endure to the end for a reason. And a lot of this might be for our own edification and whatever. We've cried out, "Oh God, free me from the slavery of what's going on around us. Protect us, keep us safe," and whatever. So when Pharaoh said, you know, it was brought out by either Pedro or one of the messages this morning, said when the Moses Aaron went before Pharaoh, he didn't say, "Oh yeah, sure, like we heard. Just go ahead, take your cattle and everybody, take your people, just go. We don't need you anymore. We can do this on our own." No, he said, "Who is this God of yours? Who is this God of yours? I don't know him. And who do you think you are making these demands of me?" He's a Pharaoh over the whole land of Egypt, over the most powerful, we heard this morning, the most powerful army in the whole world. They stood out as a nation. It's like going up to our president of the United States and saying, "Look, let all the Christians that we believe the way we believe, free to do what we want. You don't, none of the taxation, none of this stuff applies to us at all." He's probably saying, "Who do you think you are coming before me? I probably wouldn't even get in there to start with. They had me out there locked up in a loony bin somewhere." But that's the same application here. They went before the Pharaoh, and he turned them down and said, "No, I'm not going to let you go." And God had to do it for them. And he didn't recognize who it was. Exodus 14, verse 14. "And the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall stand still." Stop your complaining. God was telling the Israelites, "Look, stand back. I've led you this far. I'm not going to let you die here in the wilderness. Just quit complaining. Let me do my job." I had to say that this week to some of my staff. "And the Lord said to Moses, I am about to harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow you, and I will get honor for myself." It's interesting here what he says. "And Pharaoh over his army, over his chariots, over his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord God when I will be glorified through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." God is showing his power to the world. This may be the most powerful nation in the world, but guess what? I'm more powerful. I'm taking my people out by my hand. Let's go back to, well, turn Well, you don't need to turn there. I'll just read the scripture. Romans 9, verse 17. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Now, that's very interesting. Declared in all the earth. Did you realize that every time we pick up the Bible and we read, and there's more Bibles published all over this world, that this story about the Pharaoh is being read over and over again? And he says, and even when it's preached, today we've had four messages on this whole story. Thousands of years later, God's word is still resonating through this whole thing. The examples of what he said physically applies spiritually to us today. And to this very day, every time somebody reads the Bible account of the children of Israel being freed from Egypt, it is a declaration throughout all the earth. And whenever it is preached upon, it is declared wherever it is preached on the earth. So what God said it was going to happen, my name may be declared in all the earth. Romans 9, verse 17, as being done over and over and over again to emphasize the power of God and what he did for the people, what he's done for us, bringing us out of this world. Verse 19, Exodus 14, verse 19. And the angel of God who went before the camp of Israel moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went before them and stood behind them. So it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of the Israels. Thus it was a cloud in the darkness to one and a light to the other, and so on. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on the right and the left. Now that's a story in itself. Can you imagine? You're looking into this sea. You got a wall of water on the left and one on the right, and God says, go through there to the other side. And you're looking at this wall of water. And I don't know. I mean, you had to have faith or trust in God to even make that first step. Because you got this wall of water standing on each side of you. You think about it physically in your mind. And you might say, oh, that's no big deal. I can walk through there easily. But you had to have a certain amount of trust in God that what he said was going to happen really was going to happen. He was going to keep the wall of water up on dry land, and you were going to go across it with no problem at all. And they must have been strung out for miles. I mean, you had maybe 3 million people there, 600,000 men with children and wives and extra people that came along with them, and they all went across on dry land. And it was like a channel, and they did go single file. They went probably in a group, different groups coming across, and by the time it was sunrise, they'd all gotten to the other side. So in verse 23 of chapter 14, he said, the Egyptians pursued and went after them into the midst of the sea at Pharaoh's horses and his chariots and all his horsemen. They all came out, boy, I mean, his whole massive army. Then it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians, and he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians. I imagine, in some ways that could be kind of funny, but it was serious. I mean, God troubled them and caused the wheels of their chariots to come off. I mean, that's... there they are in the midst of the sea with walls of water on each side, and they don't have the same trust that the Israelites had in walking across there and faith that God was going to deliver them because he said he would. The Egyptians didn't have that assurance. So in verse 26, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea that the waters may come back upon the Egyptians and their chariots and their horsemen. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and when the morning appeared, the sea returned to its full depth, while the Egyptians were fleeing into it. So the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. Then the waters returned and covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea and with them. Now so much as one of them remained, but the children of Israel have walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the water of war were a wall to them on the right and to the left. So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. I mean, there's a tremendous story here. When you go, it's just not a fairy tale story, Deidre. It's an interesting story, but for us it has powerful meaning. What God can do, if you think about that, you young people sitting down here in the front row, that God delivered them, what God can do by holding back the water and trusting that you trust God. The whole lesson here is that trust God. So, brethren, what do we gain? What do we glean out of this information as we go on our Christian walk, you know? Well, then what lessons can we, when we learn through these examples that we've seen here? Well, first of all, the one I just mentioned, trust in God with all your heart and all your mind. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3, verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Very powerful statement there, very encouraging, that we've all had, that I've had to draw on this over and over again, to trust God with all my heart. That was sometimes the only solution to certain problems. In Psalm 3 and verse 3, several lessons we can learn here as we go through these things. It's the very day he sets aside holy days for us to learn various lessons that he set for us. Part of his overall plan of salvation through the holy day representation here. Psalm 3 and verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory and the one who lifts up my head. I cried to the Lord with my voice, and he heard me from his holy hill. Now, that's a very encouraging statement there. You can be sitting in a classroom. You can be bullied by kids. I mean, I was a little runt when I was a kid in school, and boy, come recess, man, it was time to beat up Ray. And that was the way it was. He just, the kid, the place I grew up in, it was a real tough environment. Had a kid that had gone back in grades. He had a really rough life. It was Joe Tarrant. He was 3 years older than I was, the same class. We were in grade school together. His dad had put his eye out with a bullwhip. That's the kind of background he had. He had stripes all over his back, where his dad had just beaten him over and over again, tough as nails. But he stood up for me. He liked me. And he when I got in trouble, which was pretty much every day, he, little Joe, stood up for me. Unfortunately, he didn't. He had a tragic life. He ended up finally at 14, killed his dad. That's the way the world has. I mean, it's a tragic story. He's a good kid. But his father took it out, and his mother, he had all he could take, and he shot his dad, killed him. He went to jail. And you think, well, bam, after what that kid had gone through, lost an eye, had stripes all over him, his mom was beaten up, he killed his dad. No excuse. I mean, we know what God looks at than that. But boy, I tell you, it was a rough life this kid had. So I just thank God over and over again that he delivered me eventually out of that environment. My parents saw what was taking place, and they got me out of that town completely. They moved to another city just to get me out of that environment. And it was just a terrible, terrible condition. Thank God that we have our peace that we can enjoy at this point in time. Psalm 140, verse 1. Psalm 140, verse 1. David had lots of problems. He called out to God over and over again. And as God said, David was a man after my own heart. Because even though he sinned, he made mistakes, big mistakes. But he always went back to God. He always praised God and repented of his sins, which is what these days represent, the opportunity we have of coming out of sin, repenting of our sins, and being forgiven by Christ's shed blood. That God had a way of being able to deliver us from sin. It's like, I think Brian said this morning, and I certainly say it myself. Thank God. I wish God didn't have to remember. We said He puts them away completely. But you look back and say, well, I can still remember my sins, even though I know God has forgotten them and He's forgiven me. But I keep making mistakes every day. So here David is crying out to God. He said, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plan evil things in their hearts. And unfortunately, there's a lot of evil in this world that people use different tools that they have today to hurt people, destroy people, as we heard this morning. They continually gather them together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poisons of asp is under their lips. It's describing people in this world and what they do, the way they harm people continuously. Verse 4 says, keep me. This is David pleading to God. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Well, there's a lot of encouragement in these statements that God has inspired to be written. David goes on and he says, I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear my voice, my supplications, my pleas. Please, God, hear me. O Lord, O God, the Lord of my strength, of my salvation. This is a man calling out who had been through a lot. Yeah, he sinned. He made a lot of mistakes. But he always came back to God. He always repented of his sins when they were pointed out to him. And he stayed the path. So David is trusting in God to fight his enemy. And the enemy could be physical. It could be sin. It all germinates in sin. Because whether it's done by an individual or a group of people or whatever it might be, or a friend, or even somebody in the God's church, believe it's happened many, many times in God's church, which you don't expect. But it comes. It can come from the minister. It can come from a friend in the church. It can come from anybody. The point is that you have to look beyond that. Because we're all human beings. We all make our mistakes, every single one of us. Where none of us are excused from that. God calls that out very clearly. But the fact that you keep focused on what God, and put your eyes and focus on Him and call out to Him, He doesn't make the mistakes. We make the mistakes. And a lot of people have been disillusioned. Hypocrisy in Pasadena, rampant. Rampant. Parents in the church keeping things from their children was hypocrisy. But kids in Pasadena knew more than the kids. The kids were aware of what was going on. The parents denied it. Hypocrisy. Most of those kids aren't around anymore. And that's on us. That's on us. They pay the penalty for what we did wrong. And thank God we can go to God and be forgiven for what we did in those days. One thing my wife and I said we were going to do, we were going to tell Tanya the truth. Period. When things came up in Pasadena, were problems, she knew it as quick as we did. And she came to us, talked to us about it, and we said, you're right. Doesn't make it. Hey, they're human beings. They make mistakes. God doesn't, though. Keep your focus on God. That's what you need to do. So David is trusting in God. So when we think about how he called out, he said, deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Keep me from the violent man. He acknowledged that God was his Savior. God was his warrior. God was his protection. How many times we forget that God is there for us and He is our protector. But when you go through that psalm all the way through, there are so many lessons there of God having David call out to Him. The emotions, the feelings, the trials that David has going through, and what he does is always doing is repenting of his sin, praising God, thanking God, knowing that God will deliver. complete and total faith in God. That's what God wants from us. He wants to know our commitment. I guess the second lesson that comes out of all this is the demonstration by God leading Israel out of Egypt, which represents God leading us out of sin by the acceptance of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and repenting of our sins, and then being baptized. You know, the lessons we can teach our children is when you went into that watery grave, you were dead to the past, and you come up a new person, completely washed clean of all your sins. That's a powerful thing to think about. So you had your time of going before God, repenting of your past, accepting the Savior, Jesus Christ, and going into that watery grave and coming up as it is dead to the old world, fresh to the new world with a new opportunity. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. Paul's saying here, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud." Pointing back the example that we're talking about here all day long, we're talking about the example of what took place back in the Old Testament with the tribe of Israel. When he said, "I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers," talking about them, "were under the cloud. All passed through the sea, the Red Sea, and all were baptized into Moses, a type, in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ." So God is now forever the same as He was before, but He led them through the Red Sea, a type, symbol, and now He's led us in this time and age in a different way. So it's that God is our refuge, our strength, a very present help in trouble. That's something always I grasp onto. God is always there. Remember this, all of those of us who have been given God's Holy Spirit, we are the ones that God is especially concerned for and watching over. And everything that we go through is to develop the spiritual character and strength of God. That applies to our children as well, because they're an extension of us. They've been called out special as well. So if you're sitting here today, don't think you're not special. You're part of God's family. He's called you out of this world specifically. I gave a message to a lot of young girls years ago about Mary, the mother of Christ. How qualified God was picking a person, a young person, probably 16 years old. We don't know exactly her age. But to be chosen to be the son, the mother of the Son of God. God's Jesus Christ Himself, realizing that He had to pick a woman that He felt could teach His Son and set the right example. And she had to be the right example. She had to have certain qualifications to be accepted by God for this specific honor. Now, we don't believe like the Catholics do in the Virgin Mary and all this sort of thing, that they worship her, but we can respect what she did as a young person, that she knew God's way of life, and she followed God's way of life, and as a result, God blessed her by saying, "You're going to carry my son in your womb." Amazing story. What do you think? You read that part of the scripture and realize the miracles that took place during that time. But I gave that talk to some young girls years ago in the church here. And it should set an example to every young girl that's going out in this world, in this terrible world, and believe me, it's abusive out there, that they really respect our young people and what they have to go through in this age time. Because it's a tough world we live in. So let's go to 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11, just drop down just a little bit there. I'll say, "Now all these things happened to them," meaning the Israelites, "as examples that were written for our admonition, on whom the ends of the ages are coming," meaning the ending time is coming on us shortly. We're being called into the kingdom of God. We've been called out specially. The Israelites were saved from Egypt They were saved from the Pharaoh, saved from slavery. We're being saved from sin. If we overcome and continue on this path, the journey, the greatest blessing of all, being in the family of God. Can't even imagine what that's like. He said you can't imagine what it's like. Tells you up front. You can't imagine what it's going to be like in the kingdom of God. So great, so wonderful. It's something to shoot for. Target, you know, you think you have physical examples, and most of us have challenges that we look to. What do we want to be when we grow up, or after we're grown up? We set goals, we set plans for ourselves of what we want to achieve. And one of the number one things we need to put on that graph, we want to be in the kingdom of God. And that's good for every age. I don't care if you're 2, 3, 4 years old. It's time to teach them then and let them shoot for that goal. That's the highest goal you can possibly attain over anything else that you might accomplish in life. Make it into the kingdom of God is the ultimate goal that you want to shoot for. So he said, all things, now all these things happen to them as examples and were written for our admonishment, and whom the ends of the ages are coming. Prophetic statement for all of us, because the ends of the earth are coming. One of these days it's going to be upon us. God is our refuge and our strength, a very pleasant help in trouble. God is always there for us. And remember this, all of us who have God's Holy Spirit or access to it, we can. Psalm 27, verse 1. Psalm 27, verse 1. One thing I have desired from the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord. Save me, O God, by your name, and judge me by your strength. And here's how we are to cry out to God. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. And boy, that's a good thing that all of us, no matter how old you are, can grasp a hold of. We all need God's help. We all need to call. I don't care how old you are. And I'm a lot older than most in here. A couple of my friends. You need always. And I think maybe as you go through life, you learn lessons along the way. You know that the only help you can really count on most of the time is your relationship with God the Father. And that He's always there for you. Now your parents are there for you too, but God is always there for you. And He says, call out to me anytime, night or day, and I will be there and I will answer you. And I will protect you. This is how we have strength in God. This is how we have strength in the day of adversity. So that we don't faint, we don't become fearful, we don't collapse when the pressure gets strong or when emotions and everything gets off hand. This last day of unleavened bread is a reminder never to forget to rely on God who brought us out of darkness. He gave us the light of knowing God's word. We were in darkness. We were like everybody else in this world. We didn't know anything. And God opened our mind one day. He called you. He chose you. He chose you personally to understand His word. And He had to open your mind. But you had to be receptive to it. We all have to be receptive to it. I remember years ago when that was revealed to me, that without the Spirit of God, that you got a physical mind, a physical way, you can understand all sorts of things physically. But you couldn't understand the things of God until you had the Holy Spirit of God. And it was that dimension, that coming up of having God's Spirit in your mind. But you young people who don't have baptism yet will have that. You have that access through your parents. They have the same privilege here. Last scripture, 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, very known, well-known scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 9. God's saying here, talking to us, but you are a chosen generation. We are a very special people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God called us out of this world. He gave us His Holy Spirit. He gave us a special calling made us His very special people. The calling we have today, others will come in the future. Everybody on this earth will have their opportunity eventually. But you have yours now, the first fruits, a very special calling, children of God the Father. Think about that sometimes. You are the children of God the Father. Man, that's pretty awesome. So you can think about a lot of things in your life and what people may say or challenges you face. But I'm telling you, they compare nothing to what God has in store for all of us. We just need to keep focused on that, because it's awfully easy to get distracted. All right. Y'all have a good rest of the day. Safe journey home.